Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org and MobiusStripPress.com. And so I want to lead into the regular diatribe, just so you understand that the reason why you want to download the podcast, and there's three of them. First of all, this is the only show that's actually talking about the constitutional solution of taking back our Constitution and putting the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution. Secondly, this content will refer to content from today, as well as previous shows and as well as future shows. And I'm going through the bullets and the argument for Republic Review this week. And so to make sense of all of that, you need to kind of stitch this together. So you really need to download these podcasts so that you can kind of garner the bigger picture, because you can't tell the whole story in a 90-second elevator pitch. Nine times out of 10, the Iliad or Gone with the Wind and those types of things require time to tell and require time and effort on both parts to understand and figure out how to apply and so forth. So bear in mind, the third reason is that the content on this show is really not based on the temporary events or the news of the day. It is here to educate you, and it withstands the test of time. I may use analogies and an analysis regarding current events, but those events kind of repopulate themselves. Car accidents happen every day. There may be uniquenesses, but sometimes the underlying cause, such as drinking or what have you, is constantly the problem. And so we use those to try to educate people, because car accidents of 2018 are just the same and just as horrific as car accidents back in 1940s. And so even though cars were built a lot different. But anyway, my point is that this is really not a temporary or perishable information that I'm educating you with and providing. This is something that you can actually use over the course of time. You can give your grandchildren, it'll still be relevant. they may not use cell phones in those days, but anyway, moving on. You can download these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org. I also want to basically reassert that I am going to be setting up crowdfunding. I've just got so many things on my plate. I have not got this started yet, but it should be started this month so that we can start raising some funds for getting the advertisement for these rodeos, because I'm hoping within the next few weeks, I'm laying out the argument of why we have to do this with these bullets and then what we literally have to do in the next couple of weeks so that I can get support from everybody, because I don't want to be the only one blessed with all these great opportunities. I believe that everybody that contributes gets blessings in saving his constitution, as I've said before. That being said, I'm no longer in Facebook jail, so you can still send me requests, but I finally snuck past the Facebook Politburo and am free at last. I do have that standing question. Does the Constitution protect religious freedom? And so I will kind of let that stand out there. If you want to call in and have that conversation and get me off these bullets, that's fine. I would love to have and engage in that conversation with you. Just so you understand what happened yesterday, why we had no commercial breaks, no bumper music, nothing. It was just me talking for an hour, which is fine. I don't mind doing that. But what I need to do is, as I've said before, is I need to have these hard breaks. So that as a show, if you start complaining about your local broadcasters, say you need to start picking up G.R. Mobley's Reclaiming the Republic off of Red State Talk Radio, I've already got the format laid out so that your local radio stations can, you know, make the money during my little promos and other segments so that they have a cause to air it. There's all sorts of reasons why to air this. And if you want to explain to them, I'm teaching republicanism and how to take this country back. So if they're a conservative radio show, this is the show that they want to be airing. Because I believe that empowering you and not just giving you the news of the day and my own spin on it is far more important than, again, just entertaining you. So what happened yesterday was I made the biggest mistake an engineer would ever do, and I know not to do it, but I didn't even think about it. I made some changes with some applications, and not having, you know, any support behind the scenes here, I went to play, I do the usual routine, and nothing was working. And then I realized I didn't test what I did before going live. And that's what you always do. You got to test. You've got to have backouts and so forth. And I know better, and I apologize, but I hope you enjoyed the hour of moi yesterday. That being said, that shouldn't happen again, because I will go back to the old adage of test and revalidate everything that you've done. The little bit of news that I do want to talk about, I don't know if you've heard that Fiji is seeking some form of welfare and compensation due to climate change. And they're basically putting it out there that and it's not because the water's rising. Remember, the water was going to rise and all those islands and everything else were just going to be, you know, overtaken. No, they're complaining about the increase in cyclones, and the real change in weather and what we're seeing in ocean currents has more to do with the vents at the bottom of the ocean. There's something like 45,000 volcanoes at the bottom of the ocean, and they're venting. And the amount of heat that they let out has increased quite a bit. There's a lot more activity, and that's one of the reasons why we're having more earthquakes, or some significant earthquakes, than before. So anyway, they're calling it climate change, and if they can put the finger on the United States, actually China's the biggest polluter right now, aren't they? Them and Russia. And so I would think that, you know, those countries would probably have to bear the blame, but we seem to be the one that always dives on the grenade for everybody, isn't it? Anyway, I also want to move on to this little concept of, I guess, Winnie Mandela was the one that just passed away, Nelson Mandela's ex-wife. This is just some hindsight on this. I'm not sure if you've ever studied what was going on during the apartheid and the resistance and so forth. But Nelson Mandela was in prison for a long time. And the reason he survived and stayed in prison is because he was not considered a threat, because it wasn't about liberty. It was about changing of control. If you do the research, I ask you to look up a guy by the name of Stephen Biko. And Stephen Biko was basically the leader of the Liberty Movement, and he was killed, I think, in 77, September or something like that. And the reason he was killed was because he was truly a threat. He was going to free and unleash the people, and he was going more down a path. If you look at his arguments, he was leaning more towards an American form of liberty than he was towards a level of control. And so what ended up happening was they killed him, and slowly the pressures, you know, were mounting against the apartheid, and the control just reversed. And if you look at the problems they're having today, well, can you be surprised? I mean, that's what happens when you take a one form of despotism for another form of despotism. And the Mandelas were communists, and they were not lovers of liberty, pure and simple. Anyway, just to add a little more marketing and to turn up the heat a little bit, what I'd ask you to do is, before we get into the bullets, is I would ask you to wait until I come back from this hard break that I have. And with that, we will listen to our sponsors, and I will be right back after hard break, because I want to ask you to do some analysis for me. And again, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. In the long-term dialogue that I've had since I've been talking about auditing the Constitution and moving Republic Review forward, which goes back to 2013, I've had several conversations and dialogues with, I would say, educators. A lot of times they, like a good case in point, John Rowland of the Constitutionist Society, and it used to be the Constitution.org or Constitution.org site, I believe that finally shut down, and that that website was up and running for at least 20 years or so. Anyway, he's a former, I think, attorney general for the state of Texas. And we talked about, you know, doing Republic Review, my idea. And he truly believed that we had to educate the electorate. In other words, he believed that we weren't, you know, kind of like the Moses analogy. You got to be worthy to go into the Holy Land. And I don't think he's right. I actually will tell you that we don't have that time. And I've always asserted that we don't have that time. But he says, no, it's going to take 30, 40 years at least. And I go, yeah, well, especially when we don't even have a monopoly. And how are you planning on getting a monopoly back or taking control of the education system? So we went back and forth. And I said, really, do you believe that we have 40 years left at looking at our debt and everything else? And that was in, again, 2013. He still was adamant that, you know, stay the course. We got to stay the course. And there's, like I said, there's lots of organizations out there that their model is staying the course because that's how they make their money. I will also say that if you do the demographics, look at how many kids are coming out of our school system over the next 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years. And I will tell you that if you look at the graduating class today, how do you think these kids have been indoctrinated to think, act, and vote? Do you think they're going to be coming in objective and listening to, you know, both sides? They have been programmed and indoctrinated, and they're invigorated of being a part of the big change. As well as, if you look, in addition to the kids in the pipeline coming into the electorate system, look at all the illegals that are continually coming in, and we're not deporting them. We're talking about building a wall. Well, we may have a wall up, and we actually are looking at having more and more illegal aliens still within us becoming voters. How do you believe that they are being indoctrinated to vote? Because the people that are helping them, and if you want to know who's helping them, just go and look at all the different social services that are out there and who is running them. Planned Parenthood is a great example. And if you watched the expose by Project Veritas, when they went in as a pimp and prostitute and was talking about an abortion, the gal there was more than happy to help them game the system so that they could start receiving welfare and all sorts of other benefits. And that is not uncommon. People want to help you game the system because it's free money. And it's a way to exploit socialism. And so you've got all these illegals that are, you know, within the grasp of these social services, because they're going to them like magnets, getting food stamps and welfare and all other types of benefits. And so people at the hospitals, and maybe some of these people mean well, but bottom line, the system itself, our welfare system and the entitlement system does not mean well. It is intended to collapse. And so they're putting these illegal aliens on it. And as they get the opportunity in states like California, they're going to be voting. How do you think they're going to vote? And in addition, we also have this other factor that's coming in. We call them the refugees. And the refugees are receiving money for being refugees. So they're in our midst, and they're making, what, $1,700 to thousands of dollars a month for doing nothing. And they're also working within the social services in getting these benefits and learning what else they can do and what else they can get. And what do you think they're being indoctrinated to do and how to vote? And so I don't know how much time people think we really have, but I think we're coming close to a critical mass. And if you can't see these marches and the work that Soros is pouring a lot of money. Like I said, last year he committed 80% of his entire wealth, liquidated it, so that he could start pouring cash and money into toppling countries. And if you just listen to these mass refugee march that they're planning on doing from Central America through Mexico and so forth, and basically walking across the border, calling for what do you call that? Not refugee, but asylum. They're going to call for asylum because we have a legal process that when somebody asks for asylum, we have to accept them. And so that's got to change. If Washington isn't aware of this, they need to stop that and say, we're no longer we taking people on political asylum just on that. You're going to have to provide us something more, especially if you're walking across our border, because it's just a process of gaming the system. And so everybody probably needs to be shipped back. It'd be cheaper to build a holding facility down in Mexico or up in Canada, somewhere else, and let them stay there. And if they don't and they can't get entry into the United States, then they stay in Canada or they get shipped back. We got to start doing something about this. But bottom line, there are all sorts of tentacles in this system. And I'm asking you, please do the research. Look at the demographics. Look at what is happening throughout our entire nation, from our borders, through the policies of refugees and everything else. And you tell me, how much time do you think we have before we actually, because I'll tell you, even the conservatives that are voting for Trump aren't necessarily constitutionalists. And as a matter of fact, a lot of them may find that, you know, there's nothing wrong with some level of socialism. As a matter of fact, you want to scare somebody, talk to them about Social Security and that it's unconstitutional, and they don't care. I mean, oh, don't you touch my Social Security. Well, that is the first program that they instituted that was designed to collapse the system. But it didn't happen, and so what they had to start doing was stealing from it and then letting everybody else take from it. I could take an aside right now, but I really don't want to. I'll just quickly cover the fact that if you look at how much veterans make, there are retirees from the World War I, Korean War, Vietnam War, and the Vietnam War era, like myself, that are making less money than refugees and these other people gaming the system through our retirement after, you know, committing our lives in service for this country and for our liberties, regardless of how we served and where we served, as long as we honorably served. And we're still making less because there is, once you get into the retirement system, then you basically get, you don't get an increase just like the military does. And the problem is that they don't keep up with the military retiree with the cost of living like they do with the active duty pay. And so there's a real problem with that. And I can see lots of people kind of lobbying and saying, hey, what about me? The real problem is it's no longer about me. It's got to be about us. We have to start looking at the perspective of, you know, we got to stop the bleeding. We got to, you know, start the breathing. And then you got to treat for shock. The three, you know, things you have to do in a triage when you're, you know, coming across somebody that's been in an accident or something bad has happened to them at war, what have you. And so there we go. That's what you have to do. Stop the bleeding. Start the breathing and treat for shock. And that's what we have to do with our Constitution. And so when we come back from this break, I will actually get into the bullets and get into some of the feedback that I got yesterday. And so thank you so much. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests as to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And I just want you to think about what I just talked about in the last segment. I just ask that you ponder that, do the research on what we're facing and how we're allowing our country to be under siege, whether that be through the education system, whether that be through the immigration, refugees. We have literally created a system that is trying to implode itself so that we lose our current form of government, our liberties, bottom line, so that we can be subjugated just like the rest of the world. And the process in doing that, the primary process in doing that is through the electoral process as well as our financial processes. So anywho, back to fixing the problem. So how is it that we're going to fix this problem? Well, the court system, if we went into court, it would take time. everything takes time. And actually, the court system seems to be kind of quick in relative terms. I mean, it doesn't take 40 years to go through court, but it will never be, because of, like I said yesterday, there's a jurisdiction problem, and it will never be suitable because the court system cannot truly rule against itself in dismantling its own power. This just won't happen. The court will never say, oop, you know, we constitutionally don't have the power to make these types of decisions, to pull these cases in. It's well without our jurisdiction. They're not going to do that. That would be self-effacing. And it would only happen, an animal will only chew off its arm when it truly comes down to survival. And so the only way the court system and the federal government will start chewing off its arms is when we hold it accountable through republic review. And then they'll say, hey, we're going to do this. And we're going to, no, you're not going to just do those things. You're going to do everything you're supposed to do based on the Constitution. You will comply, or you will be tried for treason or what have you, and you'll be replaced, whether that be on the bench, whether that be in Congress or in the executive. It does not matter. We can no longer allow this continue, correct? Right? I mean, there's just too much at stake here, folks. So anyway, so the court system's a dead end, and we know that the election process has been rigged. I mean, I'll quote Trump on that. He's right. And I'll even quote Obama. He's right. You cannot change Washington within Washington. You have to apply the pressures outside of Washington. And so that's exactly what we have to do. And those pressures are the pressures at the states. We want to use the election process in a way, but we cannot rely upon sending our guys via the party, because the party is the problem. If you can't tell already, it is still the problem, and there's no way we can blindly trust the party system. Let's look at how large companies manage employees and their performance, because what is the party? Is the party controlling the people, or should the people be controlling? Who should be in charge here? What is the system? And I believe it's the people. And the people have failed to really create a focus and a center the party onto the Constitution. They've allowed the party to kind of create these ambiguous planks and the platform that does not center on the Constitution and getting us back. Where in the plank is it to restoring the founding principles and the Constitution and those things that we need to put back into the school system, into our into the state powers, and allowing states to do the things that they did before, when the states, you know, made these big mistakes of abandoning processes that were working. So that being said, how large companies do that is they manage employees' performance. But so we, the people, need to start managing the party's performance and start managing expectations. And what I mean by that is when you get a person in office, you have to manage their performance and go, hey, how did you perform against your oath? Did you call out all these, you know, egregious violations and so forth? And when they don't, then you replace them. You send a shot across the bow at the very beginning. So, look, we're expecting you to do this. And then you give them another feedback. You know, that's what counseling is for, or that's what leadership is for within an organization. They'll come back and say, you know, you're not doing it right. Or you're getting better. And you're getting constant feedback on how you're doing in the process. And so these politicians need to be told that they're not doing it. They're not cutting the mustard. And so that's how we take the party back. And that's how we start demanding that, you know, our politicians adhere to the oath of office, because they all have to take one. I will also tell you, and I said this yesterday, the Article 5 process, and more specifically, the Article 5 convention process, where the states apply for a convention, is not the appropriate process. We don't need to amend the Constitution. What we have to do is we have to get compliance. And so the only way we can get the government to comply is basically following what Jefferson and Madison did. And that is what I call republic review. And so if I go back to, and as I got feedback yesterday, I got a couple of emails that said, hey, I really love your, you know, tying this actually into the Constitution. And one of the persons pointed out that I, you know, read the part of Article 1 or Article 7, but I did not read the part of Article 5. And so, and that comes up in Bullet 2. Per Article 7 and 5, the states are the principal stakeholders in this contract and possess the ultimate say. And so if you read Article 5 of the Constitution, you will find that it clearly gives three-fourths of the states, because it says the Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states shall call for a convention. So that's the Article 5 process that I was talking about, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states. So in other words, an amendment becomes, in all intents and purposes, part of this Constitution. It becomes an actual amendment to the Constitution, or a change, is only when three-fourths of the states, or 38 states, all agree and ratify the proposed amendment, then it becomes a part of the Constitution. And so what does that mean? It means that you have to have states' buy-in, not the president's buy-in. It's not making, that's not making America great. What makes America great is the compliance of the Constitution and holding the those in the federal government accountable. And then when we make those changes, holding them accountable to those said changes. So anyway, per the 9th and 10th Amendments, the states are sovereigns over all things not delegated to the federal government within the contract. And so this would take me back to the Constitution and looking at the 9th and 10th Amendments, which is the rule of construction of the Constitution. The 9th Amendment states, the enumeration or the list in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. In other words, those things were granted to the federal government does not mean that they can be that they can use those things to deny or disparage other rights that have been retained by the people. The 10th Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states. So right there, the 10th Amendment basically says, if we didn't delegate you that power, then that power is retained by the states, unless it's actually been prohibited to the states. And you'll find those in Section 10, Article 1, Section 10, those things that the states are prohibited by in the Constitution. And it's not that much, folks. The states are not prohibited to having their own healthcare system, their own energy system, their own education system. And those things are not enumerated in the Constitution. Therefore, the federal government is actually stepping on and usurping those authorities from the states. Excuse me. So accordingly, the states delegated specific and limited roles, responsibilities, and powers within the contract, in other words, the Constitution, to the general government, and were constrained per the contract from doing anything that was not specifically delegated. And that's, again, when I'm pointing to the 10th and 9th Amendments. And so the fourth bullet, moving rapidly on, trying to catch up to where we were yesterday, the only way the general government can constitutionally obtain a new role, responsibility, and power is a request process that the states delegate the desired role, responsibility, and power to the general government per an amendment of the Constitution. And again, I would go back to Article 5, and it would require three-fourths of the states to grant and delegate that power to the federal government. So we're closed up on four of the bullets, and we have a few more to go, but when we get back, we'll do five, which is the clauses. So after we have a word from our sponsors, I will be right back. Thank you so much.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile, I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, these conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so we move into the fifth bullet, where I think this is where I ended up yesterday, the General Welfare and Defense Clause, the Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, and the Supremacy Clauses are not ambiguous. In other words, they're not some open or back door for the federal government to assume new roles, responsibilities, and powers. That these clauses only apply. So when you look at the General Welfare and Defense Clause, that was really a preamble. It is a part of the preamble in one portion of the Constitution, and within Section 1, It is literally, and if you read the Federalist Papers, it is really just an ambiguous assertion that the federal government is supposed to just do good for everybody equally, that there's not supposed to be picking favorites. And just like the uniformity clause that's not mentioned here, but the uniformity clause happens to be one of those clauses that gets violated all the time. And a great example of that is the TARP bailouts. Look at how many trillions of dollars were thrown out, or billions of dollars out to different institutions. Where were those institutions? Those institutions were primarily in New York. The uniformity clause requires that however the federal government treats a given, you know, state, they have to equally treat all the other states in that way. And so it would have been wrong for the, it's wrong for the federal government to have welfare to banks, institutions, and even to people. It is not within the federal government. It's not an enumerated power for them to pay out people that need help. Sorry. And I know that we, you know, we all need help sometime, but it's not the federal government's responsibility. That's up to the states. It's up to us people. It's up to the churches, communities, and so forth to pull together and help people get out of that. That's why people have insurance. That's not why we have the government. The government is supposed to secure our borders. They're supposed to keep us, you know, safe from, you know, harm from bad countries and so forth. The Commerce Clause, I went into this. The Commerce Clause was really more of regulating foreign commerce and ensuring that states played fairly in their commerce with each other. A great example of how the Commerce Clause is being violated almost all the time. California violates it, and a lot of other states violate it when they dictate to Michigan how they're supposed to build cars. I mean, Michigan determines how they want to build a car, and if California doesn't like it because of emission standards, they do not have a leg to stand on, and they cannot dictate and tell Michigan that they cannot sell that car there. What they have to do is they have to basically say, you know what, if you won't build the cars this way, then we will build the cars this way, and then we will sell and compete against your cars. But you cannot, you know, keep something that's made in one state and keep it out of your state from being sold in commerce without some big requirements being met in banning and keeping things out. The Necessary and Proper Clause was really an ambiguous clause to basically say, if we're given this power to regulate immigration, then we need to do those necessary and proper things to help us do that. That's all it is. The Necessary and Proper kind of go, you can go hand in hand with every single enumerated power, that there are necessary and proper things. Good example, the federal government does exist, and for it to exist, they have to have some kind of buildings and furniture and those types of things. So a necessary and proper role that's not within the Constitution, but it is a necessary and proper role nonetheless for them to execute their duties, is to have a general accounting office. So that is why they created a general accounting office, to be able to buy property, be able to, you know, build buildings and furnishings and those types of things, so that they could actually provide for the essential needs of governing in the Capitol and in constitutional government buildings. That doesn't mean that they're supposed to be building buildings for unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, though. And the General Accounting Office will be responsible for basically shutting those down and selling those and getting rid of all the unconstitutional holdings that they happen to have. The Supremacy Clause basically means that if they're granted this power, such as over immigration, then whatever they dictate regarding immigration, they are supreme at. They're supreme over any of the state's dictations. And so I think I talked about this with Dr. Vile, that that was one thing that he could see, that even though the states do have some role to play, that this, that the federal government could and has the power to use the Supremacy Clause and say, hey, what we're doing is supreme over that. And so when Trump is suing California and some of these other places for sanctuary laws and so forth, they're going to win based on that Supremacy Clause, unless it is an absolute ideologue liberal judge that is ruling, and then it'll have to go all the way up to the Supreme Court before they will win, but they will win that. But these, again, are not ambiguous portals for the federal government to assume these new roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so if you want to get into why they cannot, I'd highly recommend rereading the Madison veto of the 1817 bonus bill. In that bill, he basically identifies every single one of these clauses and says that those are not clauses that can be used to create the Department of Transportation. And that's why I say that that one document is probably the most powerful document available to us today, because Madison shuts down the argument that these clauses can create portals of creating the housing and urban development, the health and human services, the energy department. All of these things can be created by using those, but that is not how they're to be applied, and that is not how it was accepted that they would be applied. We do not have a living constitution. We have a contract that is hard and fast, like I said. And so this is why I put bullet six here. Bullet six states that politicians, jurists, lawyers, officers, and officials within the general government since 1790 have used lies, deceit, and collusion to convince the states to allow them the ability to assume roles, responsibilities, and powers not delegated without following the codified process of Article 5. In other words, without actually creating an amendment to the Constitution. And so what we have here, folks, is just because they've been able to get away with it, they think that, well, then it's constitutional. No, it's a law. It's illegal. It's just like that Monet behind the mind meld art that I talked about with Mr. Griffin. If you go out and buy that, or actually, I think I was talking to Mr. Vile. If you go buy, a frame with a picture in it in a garage, and come to find out behind that picture is an actual classic by Monet, Van Gogh, or somebody else, and you go, hey, I've got this great painting. Actually, you don't, because that painting probably was stolen and it belongs to somebody else, and it's somebody else's property. All of these roles that these 12 executive departments are functioning, the Department of Transportation, Health and Human Services, Justice, blah, 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 all of those are functioning property that belongs to the states. In other words, those roles and responsibilities and power are actually states' properties. They have the rights and the power over those things. And the problem has been that the states have never stood up to the federal government, and they've allowed the federal government to convince them through either soothsaying, mind-melding, whatever you want to call it. They have used nefarious means in getting the federal government, or I should say getting the states, to kind of just allow things to happen. Now, is that constitutional? No, because you will not find anywhere in the Constitution that says that as long as the federal government can convince you to let us do it, then it becomes constitutional. And after 20 years, it becomes an amendment. There's no statute of limitations. A violation to the contract is a violation if it's been for 1 year or if it's been for 200 years. It's still wrong and it has to be undone. Or you have to amend the Constitution to allow them to do that. So I'm going to ask you, folks, do you want to amend the Constitution to let the federal government have the power over our healthcare system and move us towards a single-payer system where the government dictates everything to our health and our needs for our healthcare? Is that what you want? I don't think so. I think that most people want to be free and want to have the liberty of either not having healthcare or buying the healthcare that they want to the degree that they want, or having a Cadillac healthcare system like the senators and congressmen do that you pay for because we're paying their salaries. Anyway, my point being is that if you want them to have the Department of Transportation, if you want them to have the Department of Energy, if you want them to have the Department of Education, then you have to make them amend the Constitution. And that's what Republic Review will do. It will force them to either create amendments, and if the states have the resistance necessary, which would be 13 states, to say, no, we're not going to let you do that, then guess what? all these powers come back to the states, and the states can start doing this once again. And the states can start doing everything that the federal government is not supposed to be doing once again. Now, that is the perfect self-healing system in the genius insight that the Lord had instilled upon, I believe, our framers. And I believe that he knew that in as time would progress, things would get so bad that we would be living under federal tyranny to a point where we would say enough's enough. And he gave us a system that would allow us to heal this. So we're out of time. This is G.R. Mobley. We are Reclaiming the Republic with you. And tomorrow I will be back going from 7 and on. So please join us tomorrow as we continue these bullets of Reclaiming the Republic. Thank you so much.